You're listening to
the Almost Anything Network.
We should have this song start our show all the time. This song is a pumped up start.
I do love this song. Guys, welcome to Say Anything. This is Mike and Daryl.
Yes, it is. Mike.
And obviously, I'm Daryl.
what if Chuck was sitting there? Or
Jumpin' Jimmy.
But, yeah, this is Blues Traveler, Crash Burn.
Off the four album, right?
Yes.
I'm a big Blues Traveler fan. So you chose this song for a reason, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to see Blues Traveler later this month. It's going to be
before,
awesome,
right?
Hell yeah!
They put on a good show.
I've
never seen them live.
I thought we did see them at the House of Blues. Me and you went and saw them.
Oh fucking A! We got real drunk that night.
Yeah,
I do remember that. Were you up on the balcony?
Yes.
I do remember that
and
now.
Downstage, and dude. It's
and
like,
actually,
you know,
I remember,
that big area.
We saw that at the House Blues in Anaheim.
Yes.
And I remember that being a kind of nice venue because it's not very big.
Yeah, so it's not.
Like
it's a very intimate.
Pretty good view.
I was this close to catching a harmonica that John Popper threw out at the end.
Okay, if you would have caught that, would you have played it, or would you have just held on to it and try to sell it, or just keep it as a...
If I had it, I'd maybe try to get his autograph on it later, you know, just to, like, kind of commemorate it more, like...
Do you think that would be worth a lot of bucks?
Possibly.
Wait till he dies.
Way more. But it's one of those things where it's something cool for somebody, but for most people it's like, okay...
John who?
It's just, yeah, some guy that plays harmonica awesomely, and, you know, it's so I think when it comes to memorabilia, it's always funny how, like, certain things are like, no matter what it is, it's going to be $100,000. But other things, it's like, no, it's just $100,000 to that person.
Yeah.
To another person, it's $15.
You just take a moment and listen to this. He's done with this little singing riff. He goes into this little... That right there is like... When you think, or even this right here. That is not what most of us think of when you first think of harmonica.
Hell
like
no.
He plays it in such an amazing all-around style. Like, it's not
he just made it, you know, not your dad's harmonica. Like, he totally just turned it upside down and made it his own and said, "This is if you hear this sound, it's going to be me."
I remember seeing him go through, like, he had the vest with, it looked like 12 different harmonicas on it.
Yeah, that
it,
was
just
the
go
whole...
through all different ones. I don't know if they were in different keys or
yes.
what, but...
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. I definitely remember him going through a lot of different ones.
Which is a true musician, because that's the thing. It's like, he not only knows how to play the shit, but he knows what he's playing. He's not just playing like, oh, this is gibberish. I don't know what notes I'm playing. I don't even know what key I'm in. No, it's like... I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'm doing it awesome. Like,
yeah, it sounds intricate and amazingly detailed, but I know exactly what I'm doing.
And if somebody tells me, like, hey, we're going to be playing this blues riff in B, you know, he's going to go, got it.
So
I'll bust out this one harmonica that's in B, and I'll play along. He's not going to be like, what, huh? B? What key is that?
Do you enjoy harmonica and other, like, blues, like, music and stuff like that? And I remember...
Bluegrass, all that shit,
not
yeah.
necessarily blue. Bluegrass too, but I've heard it in some blues, like the slower, like bump bum bum bum.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I lost my dog.
Yeah, and I do. I have an appreciation for that too, but it's like it's such a.
But this is rock.
Yeah, he brought it into like a different genre. You don't necessarily usually hear it, at least not hear it in the pacing that he does it in. But anyways, good choice for the start of the show.
Do you think you could ever live in a relationship that is an open relationship?
No, I'm way too jealous.
So it's not necessarily that you want to fuck other chicks, is that you don't want them to fuck other people.
I don't really want to fuck other chicks, but I do have that fantasy, like watching porn. It would be nice someday to maybe like, you watch that porn, you're like, oh, two girls, that would be fucking cool. Or you like, you see certain things. But to be honest, I'm going to sound super cheesy right now. But being in a relationship for 2 years, which is the longest relationship I've ever been in. So people who have been in longer relationships than me may completely blow my fucking theory out of the water. But I love the fact that I am with one woman because we, especially with the woman I'm with, we're both willing to experiment and we both like are willing to try different things and see if the other person likes something, I'll try it.
A lot of people aren't into that.
But see, that's why I'm personally
they just come
lucky.
Into like their preconceived like here's again, what I like.
I'm
but then they also
I'm not
don't
married.
Right,
if married happened. I've heard that changes.
And I'm not saying this is necessarily marriage, but a lot of relationships have like, hey, I like this, but I'm not necessarily going to tell this other person I like this. So I'm just going to hope they guess this is what I like. And then I'm just going to, like, you know, be into them doing it as soon as they figure out that I like them doing it. But I'm not going to tell them explicitly, like, hey, by the way, I'll give
you...
I have
strange on the side type thing?
No. Like,
or you
okay.
mean more kinky actions
like
in
a girl
bedroom.
Says, like, hey, by the way, what gets me off really is whips and a spanking or whatever.
Have you ever had a kink that you thought you had based on watching porn, but once you tried it, you're like, wow, that is not as satisfying as I thought it would be?
Totally.
I've had those moments where you're like, for some reason, porn, when I saw him doing certain things, you're like, oh, that looks awesome. I like that, and it gets me off, and it's like turns me on. It's way
I was like
mine.
That with 69s.
Yeah, but then once you do it, you're like, this is not as cool as it makes they make it.
Like, I saw
it
in a porno, and then you're totally like, man, that would be awesome.
Oh, I can't then, wait till that happens
yeah,
to me.
And then you, like, totally get a chick to be like, hey, let's do this. And she's like, all right, let's, whatever. She's in the moment of it, obviously.
Yeah, she's willing to participate. Yeah.
And then you do it, and you're like, man, like, that wasn't bad. But I could see if we were just doing that one-on-one, like you do me and then I do you, that being a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just individually is fine.
It doesn't need to be at the same time.
It's hard. I can't coordinate.
It's cool that it's like, at the same time.
It's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach. Right. It's like it's too much work.
It's the novelty. It's like, that was cool. Now let's never do that again.
I'm good. I've done it.
No, I'm looking very much forward to seeing John Popper as well as the rest of Blues Traveler, because it's not just blues. Like, he's obviously awesome because he's a singer and the front man and plays harmonica.
Right.
But the drummer and the bass player and the guitarist, like, they're all awesome as well, too. They all have their
good band.
Yeah, they have their moments of, hey, this guy's going to show his chops for a minute.
Oh, yeah, they're all musicians for sure.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. That should be a good time going at the end of the month. Hopefully I can either gain up enough money or find the time to actually go as well, because yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
But I have so many things I want to do right now, but they all cost so much money. It's hard to divide, like, okay, which ones can I afford to do and which ones can't I?
And in this day and age, too, it's like your time is valuable, too, where you're thinking to yourself, like, not only do I want to spend money, but do I want to spend that weekend doing whatever I'm going to be doing?
Yeah.
Or do I want to go spend that Friday night going to see that one whatever?
I mean,
you know, those are all valuable.
This is me not complaining, but, okay, I have a girlfriend, but I don't live with her. So I spend a lot of time traveling back and forth from her place or to my place. And she spends a lot of time traveling, too. So we spend a lot of this back and forth, and that in itself takes up time because she lives like an hour away from me. So if I want to do something that day, but I'm going down there, well, sorry, I can't do anything. I'm not really doing anything that day. I'm doing whatever we can up there. But if she's down here or if I'm in the area, then I have more. Or if same thing up there, like if the people are around me, then great. But it's this, like, I'm kind of stuck. So it like those few days I do have, do I want to spend them doing this or spend them doing that?
Right,
or
right.
Spend them doing that? Because, like, yeah, between work and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I know with myself, too, it's the same thing where, you know, every weekend you have four different people telling you, like, there's something cool to do and you should try it.
Quit
do
humble
it with
bragging.
Me.
All right, all right. You have friends. We get it, D.
But that's the thing. It's like, on any given weekend, you have four people going like, hey, I got this zombie pub crawl that you should check out. Hey, I got this comedy club that you should go see. Hey, I got this open mic acoustic band that you should check out. And you're like, those all sound awesome. I can only do one, though. So which one do I do, you know?
It's hard to choose.
And you don't want to tell, like, your other two friends, like, oh, I'm, even though those are two great things that I want to do, there's this other thing that I kind of want to do a little bit more.
There's a ton of comedy shows that I have I have a couple of friends that are doing, like, they're up-and-coming comics. They do comedy all the time.
Sure.
And I want to go to, they're posting up shows they're doing all the time.
Everybody's doing something.
Yeah, and I wish I could go to more of them, but it's just like, yeah, it's like, all right, they're at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and you're like, oh, fuck, but I have to work at, like, 7 the next morning.
That's the unfortunate thing is that while we're all still being creative geniuses on our downtime, we all still have day lives that need to bring in income.
Yeah,
and
so
whatever.
I can keep doing that stuff.
Right, exactly. So it's like all those cool things that we're doing have to come after an 8-hour day of work and an 8-hour day of work follows it in the next 6 hours.
Yeah.
So you're like, man, I want to do this so bad. But I'm also wanting just to not do something for a minute.
One thing in my whole life, I felt like Roadhead always sounded cool.
Yeah.
But it's never as easy or fun
you
as
you
think
it
is.
You can't do it in like deadlock traffic, like on the 110 or something.
You really have to be with like nobody else on the road.
It's like on the way to Vegas.
Yeah, like Vegas when there's no traffic at all. Like,
right.
If there's a car in front of me, then I'm too worried about it.
And you got to get a girl that's okay. So this girl that's in the Roadhead, she is
a special breed.
Is a special breed because, okay, first of all, it's hard enough to get girls to suck dick without a moving car involved at all. And let alone now, like, put in, like, hey, by the way, take your love of sucking dick and let's put a 70-mile-an-hour vehicle involved in it.
Now let's put some real danger with it.
And let's have you do it the same way.
Yeah. So if we get in a car accident, we're all going to be dead. And I'm either you're going to die and I'm going to lose a penis.
I, like, let some jizz out.
Yep.
But that's the thing.
It's
like,
a fun novelty, but after you've had it a couple times, you're like,
there's so many things where I think of, like,
let's stop on the side of the road and have some fun.
There are so many sexual things that I think of myself as like, oh, I did that when I was 23.
Yeah.
I don't do that now. Like, I don't know that shit.
It's
like,
the explorative time.
Yeah. That was when I was like,
was
into sex for the first time or maybe.
You're trying to figure out what you like.
Yeah.
But here, I'm going to take us back
to
second.
Do I like Roadhead or not?
Exactly. Speaking of doing something, like we just did that thing today with the improv, and like I'm looking for something that gives me more of that vibe. Where the one stand up show we did together, where I did my open mic night, and then it was our open mic night, but I was able to do a few jokes in there, and then this thing afterwards, you get such a rush, like you have that, like I'm kind of on a high.
Yeah, it's the afterglow.
So
I did
like
something awesome, and now I want to bask in people thinking I was
also
awesome
like,
for a minute.
I'm seeking like what's going to give me that high again, because that's a fun place to be.
It is very fun. Yeah, I think that's what everybody's looking for is that that moment where you're truly living in that place that you want to be.
Yeah, you're just excited about what just happened, or everything you wanted to happen just happened.
Mm-hmm. And it happened because you were doing something, you were gelling. You were in a moment where it's like, your craft was at its height.
No shit. Yes, and I, I totally agree with you, man. It's just, you're in the moment, you're enjoying what you're doing. I'm sure people get that from all different things, but I've noticed
the stage has been
fun for that.
I've even had those moments where, you're performing or you're doing these things where, you're in the moment and then afterwards you listen to it or you watch whatever you did and you're like, wow, I forgot. I didn't know that was that funny. Like, I didn't know it like hit that well, or I didn't know that joke like played over that well. It's like, that's my thing is that I never see myself like I never hear the audience almost. It's like the audience is like, oh, they might have enjoyed it. They might have not. And then like after the fact, it's like, oh, wait, they really did enjoy that. Like, see how much they laughed right there. Like when I was doing it, I didn't hear the laughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're like in the zone. You can't, you're only hearing yourself really.
Yeah, I'm like trying to just focus on like the performance. And it's like, but maybe that's the thing. Maybe you got to do kind of soak in like, oh, wait. They are vibing like what you're saying. Like they are like, you know, into it, like kind of milk this moment for maybe a minute.
But I think maybe that comes with like, cause maybe it's the nerves with us right now.
Where, sure.
Like, you're so nervous up there that you're just hearing your own heart beating.
Well, I think that's with also like, yeah, like a skilled stand up or something where you have that, like, I know I'm funny. Now I'm going to like make these people listen to me instead of just like trying to just spout off these things as fast as I can.
Yeah.
And hope I can get off this stage as quickly as possible. Like,
I got joke. Thank you. Bye. Good night. Have a good night. Drive home safe.
Oh, it's like, I know these jokes are funny. I'm gonna now like write these things out and like talk about it in a minute. And I think that's what I like about this podcast is that like we're the same way where it's not just about like let's try to make each other laugh this minute or every single second. It's like let's try to talk about something because we have the time to talk about something. We have the ability to like make a complex thought that's not just like
yourself.
Let's make a dick from fart joke all the time.
Ashley Madison, right? It is 86% men, which is 31,343,378.
Well, that's
okay.
That's not
14% women, which is 5,055,496. So
83 to 5.
So it's 31 to 5.
31 to 5.
31 to 5.
So 6 to 1.
86% men.
6 to 1.
14% women. So it was
for every 6 dude, there's 1 chick.
Exactly. So it was way outnumbered. It was way outnumbered.
It's like Alaska.
pretty much. It was way outnumbered. So it's like, yeah, all these dudes wanted to cheat with from their. Their supposed wives. Do you even know like how many of them were actually married?
Right.
Like maybe it was like, I just want a MILF or like, I just want a sugar daddy. I was just talking about this with my girlfriend the other day. What makes a piece of paper or a ring better than me and you committing ourselves in front of our friends and family? Like we promise ourselves to each other. We will be with each other through thick and thin. I promise to be her shoulder when she's going through hard times. She promises to be my shoulder through hard times. And through the good times, we'll support each other and have a great and promise to be there with each other. For blah, blah,
you
blah.
Have to have
the
some basics, sort of
the basic
writing.
Same thing with writing. We're like, but it's purely from the heart. We're like, because I love my girlfriend. I'm willing to stay with her forever. I really do love her. She's a pretty amazing woman. I can't vouch for her enough.
I will say I know her pretty well, and she's pretty tight.
She is pretty amazing. And so I can't vouch for her enough, but I have this built-in fear of marriage, which is so weird because I have a mother and father who were married for 30-some-odd years before my father passed happily. They always seem to be in a good marriage. They always seem to treat each other well, and they seemed happy, all right? And I've been surrounded by that. So like, but I've also had a lot of friends, and I've heard a lot of horror stories, especially recently with like people I've heard on podcasts, like Dave Foley, which is a Canadian, but that's a different story. But other people who have been in deep relationships, they get married, and when they get divorced, it's either like they end up going to debtor's court because they owe their female, like their ex wife, more
so
money
funny.
Than they even make, or they are like. And it scares me into like that doesn't mean anything when you can divorce each other and that piece of paper can be broken so easily. You can have these divorces. And I'm all about like
get
if I commit to
more
you,
scared?
That's more personal to me than if we sign this piece of paper or put this ring on our finger. I promised you and you promised me and we promised to grow together.
Yeah. If you watch Divorce Inc., I think it's called. It's a new documentary on Netflix. It will definitely make you even more scared shitless about like getting into a marriage.
And I love my girlfriend to death, but she's already told me like, yeah, if we were both like, if you ended up making $1 billion with some company,
yeah,
and I end up saying like, hey, I don't want to be with you, like, and she ends up saying like, not from infidelity, just saying like. Hey, I don't want to be with you anymore. And
we amicably split.
Be like, okay, this sucks, but
yeah, you want to go, you
got
to go.
There will be
go.
Lawyers
she
that will
expects
draw
me
out.
To pay for the lifestyle. And I'm not saying that's wrong for her to say that, but I'm always like, first of all, I'm poor as fuck. So I'm living in this fantasy like, well, what if I'm a millionaire someday? Like, which is probably never going to happen. But it's the thought of like, what if I'm not a millionaire? What if I make $100,000 for like 2 years and then lose it? And she wants me to pay based off that $100,000 for the rest of my life. And why should I support her if she decides to leave if we decide to break up amicably? If one of us cheats on each other, that changes the whole story. And I'm not going to even get into that because that's like, that's a whole different beast. I'm talking about like, hey, we know we still like you. We still love each other in the like fact that I don't hate you, but I feel like we don't belong together personally anymore. Let's right. separate. Okay, it sucks. I'm sure one of us won't feel the same way, and it will be terrible. But why should one of us pay? Like, even if it's like me, like saying that to her, which I would never say that to her because honestly, she is fucking perfect. But even if it was me saying that to her, like, why should I pay her forever? I can almost understand, like, hey, if we had a shared apartment, yeah, we gotta see this shit through together. We had a shared commitment. Totally understand that. There is no qualms about that. I'm talking about like 20 years I had, or like 10 years I had alimony.
Yeah, right.
Why? That's the part that maybe that's the testosterone. Maybe that's the nut that I have hanging between my legs that make me go like, what? That's my money.
Well, but I think that comes
it's
from
scary.
It's just all arcade
scary story
form of
here.
These laws were created from a climate of, hey, these women were so discriminated and looked down upon that they were just left out in the rain where, you know, the ones that did want to get divorced, they were just left with nothing. So suddenly these people that had like $500,000 a year just put these people out on the streets, or these women were like, oh, you want to divorce me? Well, fucking fine.
Yeah, I totally get that. Where like you basically told me like, hey, I can't go to school. I can't go get a job. You want me to be at home all the time for 20 years.
Yeah,
and then you
and
leave
you
me.
Take care
and
of
I have
my
no
kids or
I have no skills of my own to like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? That's a different story. I'm talking about like two people who went to school, who had their own jobs,
now
got together
these,
and were working together to pay for the place.
Women that are able to financially take care of themselves suddenly go like, well, even though I have a degree in this and I could take care of myself and live in a nice house, I'm going to have this person give me X amount of dollars because he just needs to do it because of his
it's just right.
moral obligation or whatever.
But I also feel weird about, like, I've heard this from another comedian. I'm totally stealing this from somebody, and I don't know who it is, so I'm not giving the proper credit, but this is not mine. But why the fuck should I have the government involved in my love?
Mm.
Like, okay, me and you love each other. Why the fuck
that's
should
Doug Stanhope.
Okay, I'm going to say somebody, I know it's not me, so don't give me any credit for
right.
that. But somebody was saying, like, yeah, and I totally agree with that. Like, yeah, I can love you together. I can love you forever. I mean, you can be together forever. I have a bond to you, and I promise myself to you, and you promise yourself to me, and I trust you. And I've never had that for another human being, but I trust you completely. What says that more than just saying that? Why does the government need to get involved in this? Why do I need to pay less taxes because of it? That's what I always felt. I always felt that was a single person tax. That was like, it's if you are unlucky in love and you can't find somebody that will be with you forever and like, which we all want, if you can't find that, you have to pay higher taxes than the person that was lucky enough to find that person that's going to love them forever. I always found that to be fucked up.
It's
now, the kids thing is different.
The government always does those things. They're called financial sanctions. They're basically ways of saying, here's how we want you to live your life, but we're not going to tell you in a law like, hey, thou shall not do this. We're going to tell you, though, with a dollar incentive of you should live your life like this by saying, if you get married, you will have a tax credit.
Yeah.
In your in your property tax, or in your insurance tax,
right?
Or whatever.
Somewhere along the line, like you get right. you get a discount because right. of this.
And that's where, the like, thing is that
I want to be in love.
Like, the government is telling you, if you do these things that we find valuable to making a society that is good and moral, then you can benefit from doing those things, like getting married and having kids and doing those things that propagate the society growing.
Right.
So but if you decide to yourself, like, hey, I don't want to buy property, or I don't want to have kids, then they're going to say, well, fine.
Pay more.
Then you're not going to get those incentives. You're not going to get those cuts.
And I guess
you're not going to get the. If you want to buy property, you're not going to get those things because you're not married or you don't have kids.
Do you think that actually leads to a stronger economy when you set incentives like that? Or do you think that's more of a punishment?
It's just gross.
See, the one thing
it's just about growth.
I'm almost for some of it.
Without incentive, it's like you shouldn't incentivize growth.
The one thing that's always bugged me, though, is it feels like they're incentivizing love. I understand, like, yeah, don't we all want to find somebody that we love and can spend the life with?
Totally.
Like, I know that feels sometimes cliche and sometimes societal, but you're like,
totally.
No, when I being a single guy for a long time and finally finding somebody that I've been with for almost 2 years, I find, like, much more solace in being with her
if than you I did guys being by live together.
I think it would be, I think it would be good.
But I'm saying, okay, look at how the
government gotta make more money.
Look at the government looks at it. If you live together in the same domicile, you know, in the same apartment or whatever, for 7 years, depending on whatever
common law.
Yeah, common law, depending on whatever state you are in. California has almost even increased it to 10 years.
So good.
So
if you spend a decade together, obviously you love each other. Because
if you spend a decade together, but you don't get married, you don't spend that $50 that it takes to get a marriage license, you won't get any of those benefits. You don't get any of those tax write-offs. You don't get any of those insurance benefits. You don't get any of that shit until you are more than 10 years.
Oh, and so if we were together for 10 years in the same and sharing rent for 10 years.
That's when you become common law. Then we
would be basically like,
right.
Yeah, you guys aren't technically married, but you're common law married.
Right.
Because you've been sharing
after
shit
that,
for 2 years.
After that time. Event.
Is that only
back
for
in the
female?
Day
is
it was seven
male,
now
female?
It's 10. It's either man.
So if me and you share property for, they want to make us like obviously we're not well would that happen now because
back
of gay
the,
marriage?
Back in the day probably not, but now in the now would
that
probably
happen? That's an interesting side effect. So like if we share property purely not sexually, just as like hey,
two
we're
dudes
friends,
just
we're sharing two
roommates.
Dudes. Yeah, we're roommates just for 10 years. We're both trying to find the loves of our lives, but we've both been unlucky
but could
for 10
you
years.
Suddenly be like well, we're going to, like, share insurance or
could
we're going to share.
Yeah, could I?
We're going to now, like, be the ones that
could that
share property.
Dude, if we were living together for that long and we were able to fucking tolerate each other that long,
but
I would take advantage of that and
but
be
that's
like, fucking,
the thing.
I'll be his gay partner if that gives me fucking some break.
But that's the thing. Okay, so you're going to do that for 10 years. But if you get married, that's a week. You could be, you could know each other for what? A day. Not even like.
Wait. Say
if
again.
You got married,
so like we were like me and you were like 10 years, and then I got married. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if we didn't get married, it would take us 10 years to get the benefits
of the same
of
like, time.
Somebody that got married that took days of knowing each other.
That's if so strange.
If me and you now that gay marriage is legal, we could have okay. If we lived together for 9 years, they would say, fuck off. I don't care. That's 9 years. We don't give a shit.
But tomorrow's our 10th anniversary.
And we got married. Suddenly they'd be like, whatever. You guys now get...
not even married. Just roommates. Just roommates is what I'm talking about. Like, if we got married, that makes sense. Yeah. If we, me and you got gay married or whatever, that would make sense. But if me and you were just roommates for 10 years, would they give us the benefits of common law?
Probably.
That's kind of cool, actually. Because even if you were both single,
but that's
that would,
the thing,
that would
though.
Save you both money.
But why do you get...
It's stupid that they even give you that discount.
Why do you get the expedited discount just because you decided to sign this paper with this other person.
That's so fucking dumb. And I always thought of it as like
it's all because of a dollar amount.
It's a single person tax.
It's a
single person tax. It's like you said, it's incentive. If you're single, but that's what I always found. Like nobody for the 90% of us don't want to be single. Most of us want to have a partner of some sort to go through life with. Like even if it's a group of friends. But I'm just talking about like you just don't want to go through life.
I would almost now just say like, hey, me and you, we want to get a cheaper insurance rate, and we live together already, and we're just two straight dudes. Let's get gay married.
That's what I'm saying. If we both got to that level where we've been living together 10 years, you're like, or we've been living together long enough, you're like, hey, you know what, dude? I need some insurance, and you have really good insurance, and I fucking live here, and I'm hurting. Can you help me out?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's put you on my insurance. Let's get married and we'll just fake marry this shit. If I find a woman later on, we'll have to get a divorce and we'll talk about that when that happens.
Or she just is the chick on the side or whatever. Like
I know personally when I was working for I'm not going to mention too many names here, but for a different company on the side, I knew a gay woman and a gay man and a lesbian woman who married each other. Purely for the incentives. So they were like,
that's what I'm saying.
They lived in the same place, but they were like, hey, go do your own thing.
Is that,
but we
like,
technically married just to get the.
How is that keeping the sanctity of marriage?
Booyah. Drop the fucking mic, Daryl. We should just end the show right there.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of those things where it's
that
like.
That was purely legal because it's a gay. It's a man and a woman, but they couldn't legally be with who they wanted to be with. Which is stupid.
And I just feel that that's what the government does in a nutshell, is they tell you how to live your life, not by making rules, by making economic incentives for living that way.
You said that they push you into this like, yeah, you can live free. But if you want to live
gonna
cheapest,
be a lot,
this is how you do it.
Yeah, if you want to live a little cheaper,
if you want our ideal of success, this is the arrow to it. Like,
and it's basically just
arrow of incentive.
1950s ideals of nuclear family and owning property. It's family and owning a house. Those are the financial incentives.
But I wish housing wasn't such a like. Yeah, man, you have to work your whole life to be able to pay for that house. Like,
I looked at a house.
Why isn't that like a common good? Okay. Why isn't that something that we're all building for each other? Like, if we were old tribes, we wouldn't be like, you didn't build your own teepee. You got to fucking sleep outside. Like, no, come sleep in my side and we'll build you a teepee tomorrow together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand. Like, so many. There's something like 6 million. I'm bullshitting the numbers again. Something like 6 million homeless people out there and 10 million empty homes. That have been disclosed. You're like, what the? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why don't we help?
It's because
why do we are okay with people? Oh, we're homeless. We can't afford it. Like, I don't give a fuck. Get under a roof. You should be safe at least from the elements. That should be a natural. That should be a common good. Sorry, that's my little moment of soapbox.
I think it's because we give value to things beyond. Human needs, it's because we have an economic basis of like you
that's
earn
why I feel more
this,
like
this thing and then you get to use those things
buy
your necessities.
I'm not socialist in the sense of like, hey, if you're not working at all, I want to pay for everything for you, but like, hey, even if you're a janitor or if you that sounds bad, but even if you're like just doing like lowly jobs or whatever, like, hey man, you're working. Even if I'm doing something more better than you, maybe you don't get the mansion, but you at least get like housing and food and healthcare. Like those are like should be just the basic humanitarian. Like, hey man, you should be allowed a life of free from like living with disease and like you should be able to freely get that stuff. Now, get the bigger mansion, maybe get more like what do they call it, cosmetic healthcare, or get. Other types of things that are like, yeah,
elective stuff.
Earn that money and you can get that stuff too. But the basics should be like mandatory for everybody.
Bringing it back to Mr. Robot.
Oh,
that show. They're talking about that where basically if hackers totally wiped out the monetary system where they just took everybody's debt and just wiped it out, where they just erased every single bank's account number, where every bank that had like all the backups, all those like accounts that they had in their computer database, basically just get erased. So every account just gets wiped out. And so if you owe a certain amount of money, suddenly that bank doesn't...
It's now zero. So if you're like...
It doesn't know fucking, that you...
I'm fucking $75,000 in debt. What am I going to do?
In the...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. You're in the clear. They don't know that. They don't know it anymore. They might have known it, but now they don't.
Would that change your life?
Just think of how many people are in debt right now.
I know a lot.
Everybody's in debt. Everybody is in debt.
Most people have some sort of debt.
No matter what it is. I don't care if you owe $5 to something.
Yeah.
You are in debt to something.
Yeah.
If you die right now, some company is going to be like, what the fuck? You owed us money.
No, that is not bullshit. If you die, if you kill yourself right now, your family is... At least minimum $5,000 in debt.
Exactly.
To pay for your funeral, your casket.
Just to put you in the ground.
Your handling. Just to take your body from here to the graveyard.
To wherever you put it. It's going to be ridiculous amount.
And then they charge you. Oh, my God. Don't let me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as. You die. If you're listening to this, you just die right now. And your headphones and just your body just falls to the ground. And now suddenly whoever finds you owes $5,000.
Yeah.
Whoever finds you owes now suddenly a shitload of money.
I'm in my family's garage. So like they would now be, all right, guys, figure out how to pay $5,000 to $10,000 to take care of him, to get all the disposable waste, the hazardous material,
to put you in the ground,
to bury me, to buy either a casket
or to cremate you,
whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
it's not going to be cheap, and to me, that is fucking. That's part of the problem too. I think death should be fucking free of all fucking things.
That's the thing. Same thing with pets.
You just got me on another topic. We went into
debt. As soon as our pets died,
if our friend didn't step in, we would have been bankrupt because of my dad's death. If our friend didn't step in and help us.
That's what I'm saying. And it's one of those things where
I'll always hold that friend in very high regard no matter what the fuck happens to them or whatever the fuck they do. They are like, you got to clear my book. You got sainthood.
Yeah, you helped.
Yeah, you helped me in the darkest times. Like, I couldn't even fucking look at that friend at the moment because I was so hurt.
But I think that that's the weird thing about life is that even in death, you still owe something.
It's calculus, right?
You still owe somebody
it's
something.
Like a death tax.
And you still, when you leave this life, people still go, yeah, but your money is still, I need it.
Yeah, but you still have some money in that account before you died, right? Even if you didn't, and your family should, take so it. I want some of it.
Yeah, and if it's going to take from your account to another account, there's going to be somebody going, I need a little bit of that because it went from one account to another. And I think that's really the American way is
Sally, you might be right.
Is we're always looking for a payday, like... We will always look over morals or judgments or any type of like ideals
for a
cash payout or for some sort of like, oh, you're giving me this amount of money. I will look past my moral judgment because of that.
Let's get real. Let's get real for a minute then. I got a proposition for you. So talking about your scenario, all right. So say that your stepdad makes a shit ton of money. He hasn't been telling you about it. And I found out hacking into a system. Like, whoa, man! He told you guys he's making like $50,000 a year, but he's really making like $10,000 a year. Or he's telling you
$10 million
a year, and he's got fucking like 270 million stored in fucking savings. I could literally take 30 million of that, and he would never even notice. I'd take it slowly. I could put it into this account. All you have to do is give me the account number, and me, you can split it 50-50. That's $15 million to you, brother. $15 million fucking dollars. Would you sell out your own family for that much? That's as crazy as it is. Like, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can you, like, take that scenario? Like, hey, it's my stepdad. He's with my mother. He has, obviously, plenty of money.
But on the other hand, 30 million won't notice. Like,
but that's still fucking robbing.
Am I, like, with my relationship now, as it stands before this transaction,
okay,
am I getting any of this taste of, like, his fortune? Or am I still living paycheck to paycheck and being stupid and poor and whatever, and he's still, like, my rich stepdad that doesn't give me anything I want? Because if that's the case, I'd be totally like, well, fuck this guy. I'm going for the fucking riches. But if he's like a guy,
give me the scenario again. So, like, if your stepdad was cool, or if your stepdad was not cool, is that the basic?
That's what
is that
I'm
the
saying.
Basic scenario?
Yeah. If he's a reasonable guy and he's a millionaire,
he's giving me a taste and paying my rent. No. He's a reasonable guy. He's a nice guy. You get along with him, but he's never told you he had that much money. He just tells you, like, oh man, I make like fucking $35,000 a year. I can't help you. I don't have enough.
But I
find out by being just a dick wad of a friend
so
that's a
hacker.
So he
isn't supporting me in any way.
He's not supporting you in any way. He's taking care of his own, like, not being rich. He's just living in a decent middle class house, paying his mortgage. He's fine. He's just pretending he doesn't have it. But I found out in his account, he's like, dude, this dude's got like fucking $270 million. He's not. He's no 35. He's no teacher making 32
totally
grand.
Take over it. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Aim.
If you take 35, and I can find a way of like taking it from his interest, like
hell yeah.
A quarter at a time. So hell in the next 10 years, you're gonna have $30 million, brother.
That's the thing, and that's the problem with money is that we will.
I would fucking do it too. I want it. I want it so bad.
Money will trump every
money,
moral and every
money is
thing that you hold true to
okay.
your value structure
world,
at all.
Our world is a combustible car engine. Money is the oil. If we don't have oil, everything gets gunked up and everything stops and nobody works. Everything fucking explodes and chaos and parts are flying everywhere. It's like, as much as we want to pretend like money, oh, I love you so much. Love is more important than money. If we don't have that fucking money oil, nothing's going to work.
Hell yeah. And I agree that there is a structure that...
At least that's the way we set it up.
That we've trumped over everything else, where it's like every ideal like is based around, well, if you get money from it, you can justify why you do that fucked up thing. Like, oh, you sell yourself, you know, you give blowjobs. But you do it for money. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, that's all right. You do it for money.
Or you get paid. Or like, you, I got a baby at home, and I got nobody taking care of me, so I got to make the money.
Right. Or, oh, you sell.
Jared, have I told
or
you?
Or you make these children make clocks for pennies on the dollar. Oh, yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
you do it for money. You do it for money. It's like a money. It's like always because.
They're trying
There's
to earn
money.
That money for
yeah.
something. Yeah.
Yeah, money. It's like...
Money makes the world go around, and that is not a joke. I used to
But
think
if you had a small civilization, like 300 or less, about money. It's always about, let's just sustain us 300. Like, okay, you do this, you
right.
do that. It's
you
like the socialism society.
But let's be real, though. Like, they always say the money is the root of all evil, but the money is also the root of most happiness.
True.
Like, yeah.
Well, money
gets you
everything.
You may not need to be the Bill Gates of the world and making like, you know, $1 billion. But if you made, what's that number that they say?
70 grand.
If you made, let's say you made 100 grand. So you're 30 million over what it takes
Six
to be.
Six figures.
You're 30 million over what it takes to be statistically happy camper. You can do whatever the fuck you want and be okay with it, not hurt and pay your bills and have plenty of money to do whatever you want and be happy. And you're making more than that.
Depending on where you
are. So money could be that person if you treat it right. But money can also be that person that's like, hey, I'm making six figures, but or not in six figures, but I'm six figures in debt for school or for even for legitimate things. Like, hey, I bought this house and for some reason I couldn't make payments and now I'm in debt for that and school.
Yeah, right
debt,
before the burst.
Yeah, like legitimate things where like I tried to start a business and it went under, so now I owe the bank this much money, blah blah blah. Whatever the case may be. You know, you're doing it legitimately. Like, you tried to make money. You weren't, like, saying, like, give me it, I'm running away.
Your just investment didn't go out.
It just didn't work the way you wanted it to. Like, that's probably 90% of people, 99% of people.
And now you're suddenly owing certain amount of these credits.
Now that money right there is making me feel shit, like, in debt, because now I have to do crazy things to be able to make enough money to pay off that debt.
But and it how also many people could turn probably to gold. Kill themselves... You know, committed suicide because they, you know,
a lot.
Made a bad investment and then suddenly they owe 50, 100 grand or whatever. And then they go, what? I'm never going to pay this back. I'm taking my.
But then again,
I'm taking the easy way out.
Do you think that, like, fact that you pay, like, 5 grand to pay for, like, a funeral or something is supposed to be a deterrent from killing yourself?
I don't think people think about that.
They don't think about it that deeply. Probably
if
not.
If you're going to kill yourself, you're probably not thinking, who's going to pay for my funeral right now?
That's true. I don't know. Maybe they save up enough money just to pay for that. I've heard about these guys that, like, jump over the bridges, and, like, you always hear the people that survive say, like, oh, I wish I didn't do it halfway through.
And well, then
I heard about in I think it was New York, like, where a lot of these guys, like, if that's true for most of the people that jump, some of these guys that jump in New York, they jump and they tend to jump, like, where they went feet first, kind of like the pencil dive, if you remember when we were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go so far down that they get stuck in the mud at the bottom of the river. And then they can't get out. So they end up drowning in just, like, pitch black darkness and water and, like, whatever.
I think drowning would be the worst way to die.
That's what I've always thought. I'm thinking, like, drowning would be terrible.
There was
I don't know
two,
if
there
there's a good way to go,
that just
but
died
that just sounds
in a,
terrible.
In a flash flood. They were hiking in this ridge up in California. And
in the flash flood?
Yeah, there was this like keyhole ridge where it was like seriously like, you know, the canyon was like you could touch from side to side from your arm length.
The canyon was that small?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course. So there was like seven or eight people hiking, and then suddenly there was all these flash floods and like eight of them drowned.
Wow, that's crazy, man. That just happened recently, right? With that.
Yeah. And can you imagine you're going out hiking for the day and then suddenly you end up drowning?
Sorry. I don't know why I found that funny. Like, I'm drowning. Like, can you imagine doing that? Like, no, I think I'd
that's
be dead.
That's what I'm
I think
saying.
I'd be dead.
Like,
I
you
be
just, like,
anything.
Go out to yourself. You're just like, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to go hiking. I'm going to maybe eat a sandwich. I'm going to have, like, some pizza.
Oh, hopefully some bra's going to come off or yeah. some bathing suit top's going to come. This is going to be awesome.
And then suddenly, oh, my God, flash flood. I'm drowning. I'm dead.
And I'm dead. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yep. And then people are just now, like, mourning your loss. And then you're like, yep, I used to hike. And I was an IT guy. And now I'm dead.
You're telling that to me? Now I'm dead. So don't do what I did, kids.
Is it morbid to think how many people would show up at your funeral?
I don't know nobody would show up. Like, only my immediate family, you and Ananda, would show up. Like, maybe a baby.
Really? That's it? You think that's it?
I feel like no one would even care.
Oh, that might be like, saying a lot.
like I think like my family, you, Amy, and Ananda, everybody else would be like, who passed away? Oh yeah, he used to be a cool guy.
People would just be like, oh, Facebook, he's not gonna update those. Oh yeah, you know 15 photos.
Years ago I knew that guy, he was cool, but like since then I haven't kept in touch with him for like 10 years. Who the fuck is that guy? That's who I am right now.
I do want to make that movie not like Inception at all. Inception was dumb, and I want to make it
it wasn't dumb,
but it was definitely dumb. Confusing.
It was long as fucking confusing as all hell.
And I'm not saying it was a bad movie the way it was filmed or anything like that. And Chris Nolan is usually a genius.
Well, hold on a second. I'm going to pause you real quick. Genius is a strong word. I like Christopher Nolan a lot, and I really enjoyed Dark Knight.
Memento was awesome.
Memento was awesome. I'll give you that. I really enjoyed the Dark Knight series, but that third movie, I loved it when I saw it.
With Bane,
but man,
and
when they picked it apart on YouTube, did I just go like, yeah, you're right. A lot of that shit didn't really make a lot of sense. But if you don't pay attention to that as just an action movie, I fucking loved it. All right.
Certain stories, though.
Side note. But need, continue.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so I want to see a dream movie where
Like dreams may come type thing?
Like a lucid dream, like where this guy lives an alter ego in his dreams and then eventually doesn't want to live in his life anymore. His waking life, he wants to live just in his dream. And then he tries to find a way how to. And then suddenly, once he gets in his dream and can't get out, then he soon realizes, like, why did I do this? I should have.
He finds ways.
I need to get out of here. And
my
I need to
wake
up.
Is fucking darker than I realized.
Right. It was all awesome, and this is like, you know, Bell's
subconscious. That is an interesting idea. I really like that twist because your subconscious, you don't know what your subconscious is 100% of the time. Like, yeah, you think you are this person. You think you
and
like
certain
these
dreams
things.
Are awesome, and certain dreams are like just
that's
mundane.
That's what I'm saying. Like
and
sometimes
other dreams are like, oh, I don't want this.
I told you my dream
all.
About that getting shot thing a while ago. Like, just
the,
so that
on the,
so that
on
was
the
in my subconscious.
Shit.
I you think of me as that? Like I tell that story about me being a Boy Scout, but I also have this super crazy terrorist guy in my brain.
Yep.
So that's in there somewhere. So yeah, I just imagine like those like the terrors you have manifesting.
Right.
And because that's a great idea. That is a great idea. I might be drunk and high, but that's a fucking great idea.
I just like there's not a lot of movies about dreams out there. And it's kind of like a dream movie, but also kind of like a time travel movie where the dream could be in a different time where this guy, you know, is in 2015 or whatever, but his dream is like 2050 or, you know, or it could be back in time where it's like 1950, where it could be totally, you know, in the future or it could be in the past. It could be like the dream could be whatever time you want. So it's like a time travel movie, but not a time travel movie because it's a dream movie.
That would be fucking sick. I think that's a great concept. We should try to really work on. I'm not bullshitting you. I think that's a really good concept because the waking. excuse me.
Because I like the idea of like a cerebral movie where like you keep viewer guessing and you keep going like I don't know where this is headed.
They've had multiple movies about people trying to kill themselves and then bring themselves back to life. Like, what was it, Flatliners? And
yes.
Movies, where they try to go to the other side. But I like the idea of, like, no, I'm not trying to kill myself. I'm trying to go to the state where I can control. Because, like you said, lucid dreaming. So I can control. In the beginning,
I'm just
I can control.
Just in a constant state of dreaming.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can control my dreams, too. Like, if I want these two girls to go down or, like, to have sex with me, I can. If I want.
Yeah, it's like you. The lucid dreaming is, like, so on point where you're like, I can create my own world.
Yeah, it's like Inception where it's so believable that you're there and you can make whatever happens.
And
but
then you no longer can control that, though.
That's just it. When you're in there for so long, it takes a lot of effort to control that. When you're stuck, like, and that's the thing is, like, you're only allowed to do it for the 8 hours because that's all your brain can control. And after that, it's like you need sleep from your sleep. You know, you need rest from that sleep because that lucid dreaming is hard to do for your body. And so I think that's a good, oh man, that's, I can see so many cool avenues going, because like the deepest, darkest fears of like abandonment and
just, you can just, make the dreams just go way obscure,
but that's just
way
it. Subtle artistic, fears.
Way like
make these basic subtle fears, but you can bring up, you can manifest the, like the fears we all have, like abandonment,
past memories,
death,
all that shit,
sadness, yeah, like just general fears, and you could just manifest them in personal ways to this guy that just pushes his buttons like nobody else yep. can, because he only knows his buttons, so he can. He's the only one that can really stab himself where it really hurts.
And it can still star Leonardo DiCaprio. It can still star him.
If he would do it, we would book him.
Without even a reading.
What a fucking concept, though. Hey, guys, if you're a fan of what you're hearing, please help us out by going to almostanythingnetwork.com and clicking on our Amazon link and shopping away. Everything you buy will give us a percentage back to the show.
Yeah, Amazon Fire Sticks, Audible.com, any of those banners will give you access to helping us out in some small way, but also getting the things that you love from Amazon.
Exactly. So if you want to buy that fleshlight from Amazon, get your satisfaction while giving us some head. Wait, what?
Right, yeah. If you love those butt plugs and you can only get them from Amazon, well, click through our banner at almostanythingnetwork.com, click through the banner, and then buy those butt plugs full of lube through us, and we'll get a taste. Not literally.
I hope we don't literally get a taste,
but a monetary taste.
almostanythingnetwork.com.
hey, thanks for, you know, thinking of us while you're making those butt plug purchases.
almostanythingnetwork.com. Well, brother, I think I'm at a wrap for my brain. I gotta take a little break. What is our email, I mean?
almostanythingpodcast@yahoo.com.
All right. Go to the almostanythingpodcast.com or at Yahoo, or almostanythingpodcast@yahoo.com, or go to the Almost Anything Network Facebook and leave us a message, even if it's just like, sup, bitches. Or like, yeah, hey, you guys fucking suck. Stop making podcasts.
I just
want to
say,
see if anybody's listening.
Yeah. Just tell us, hey, I'm listening right now.
Because I see clicks, but I don't know if anybody's actually listening.
And the verdict is in.
The podcast is done.